This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Trey Wingo, Half Forgotten History, Pro Football Network, PGA Tour. You're everywhere. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you? And also joining you on behalf of Caesar Sportsbook as their Chief Trends Officer and Brand Ambassador. So it's always good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Well, maybe we'll make wagers. Who knows? We do this every day. All right. I am curious your thoughts. I've seen you tweet about it, but I haven't. It's been more just kind of like little comments on what other people have done or other people have said. Trying to separate, if you even can, the Saudi involvement here. The LIV series, which is not a tour, it's really, I think Jay Monahan was right when he called it an exhibition, because that's really what it is at this point. But the LIV series, they're going to continue to siphon players off the PGA Tour because the money is beyond any comprehension. But what is your view about the LIV and the PGA Tour and whether or not they can even coexist?
Well, I do find it interesting, right? Like what you just said, Jay Monahan said it's not even a tour, it's an exhibition. Well, then why is he so concerned about it? Because if it was just an exhibition and it wasn't a real tour, why would he and the PGA Tour be in this full assault mode on it? Because they know that it's a problem.
Yeah.
They know it's a problem for them. And, my overall feeling is that the PGA Tour is always going to be the tour with the best players and the best competition. That's never going to change. What I do think is important is for the PGA Tour to understand that it's not going anywhere. And you can do the whole batten down the hatches, full speed ahead, fire the torpedoes. But how's that going to play out for you? Like, it's very similar to me, Adam, of what the NCAA did when they knew that name, image, and likeness was coming to college sports. Okay?
Right.
They fought it as hard as they possibly could, knowing full well that it was an eventuality. And instead of trying to find a way to work with it, they fought it, and then when it got here, they're like, well, nothing we can do. You guys figure it out. They buried their heads in the sand. And I understand it's personal. And let's be honest, they're taking it, the PGA Tour, very personally.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's business. And you better figure out a way to make this coexist, because an all-out war doesn't serve anybody well. Yet somehow, some way, that's the stance that the PGA Tour has taken here.
I can absolutely understand why the tour isn't going to play nice with LIV. Five of the events are in the United States, and like the National Football League would try to squash any rival league that took
right,
their players.
But right there, there's the difference. The National Football League has contracts with players that pay them, and it's a binding contract.
Right. So does LIV.
What is the binding contract with the players in the PGA Tour?
Right. There's none with the tour and the players, except they have to play by a certain set of rules. And those rules have always been formalities, except in this case, because the PGA Tour knows that LIV's, and really it's not just LIV, the LIV's goal is to exist. Greg Norman's goal is to exact a measure of revenge on the PGA Tour that he's been carrying around for 30 years. And there's going to be 14 events in 24 and 25. They've already said it. They've already put out their they haven't said where they're going to be, but they're going to be 14 events. That's a full-fledged tour at that point. And I'll bet half of those events will be, they'll try to be in the United States or North America. PGA Tour isn't going to allow that to happen. Nor should they.
Listen, you're right. All these things are problematic, and LIV Golf is doing a very interesting job of basically saying, "Hey, we're not telling our guys they can't do this. They can do that if they want.
Sure.
You guys can do whatever because it suits them." Logistically, let's be honest. Let's say most of the top players play anywhere between 18 and 25 events a year. Mm-hmm. Like if we're honest, that's what they do, right? So if you do go join the LIV Tour and in 2 years you're playing 14 events on the LIV Tour and the four majors, well, that's 18 events. So then how many PGA Tour events are you really going to play?
None.
So, yeah, there are some, especially when you're making, you know, 7X
right.
playing LIV Tour events. John Rahm had a really interesting press conference.
Yes,
today,
he did.
Which I thought was very interesting, and the way he spoke about it. Like, to me, that's the strategy that the PGA Tour should embrace. I feel like they should be reminding people of what the tour is and rewarding people for their loyalty rather than punishing people for leaving, because that's never going to work. It is never going to work. Like Dustin Johnson, after the first LIV event, said, I didn't do this to play more golf. I did it to play less golf. And I thought that was a really honest answer. And, you know, he's only 37. It's not like, you know, when you're talking about Phil Mickelson or some of these other guys, or Oosthuizen or Ian Poulter, who've been at this for a long time and in their mid to late 40s, or, you know, even Phil, you know, about to turn 51. That's a different dynamic than someone like Dustin Johnson, who as recently as what last year was number one in the world and has won two majors. Those are the people that the tour should be concerned about. I mean, I know Patrick Reed is not, you know, a Dustin Johnson, but he's a hell of a player.
Sure.
And he's 34, maybe 33.
So Bryson DeChambeau's in his 20s.
Exactly right. Those are the players that the PGA Tour needs to, instead of punishing, try and figure out a way to reward them for staying. And they're never going to compete with the money.
Right.
We understand that. But there are things that they can do. And I think incentive is always better than a better driver of the behavior you want than punishment. I just believe that. If you give someone, you know, it's the carrot. Give someone the carrot and they'll grab it. But if you try and beat them into submission, a lot of these guys will say, F you, bro.
Yeah.
That's not going to work for me.
Well, I think Dustin Johnson did that. John Rahm, by the way, basically told us what the LIV Tour offered him today.
Yeah.
And he basically threw out a number randomly, $400 million. Like, apparently that's what LIV offered him. They offered Tiger. See, if I were Tim Fincham, I would have sent a plane for Tiger.
Jay Monahan.
I apologize. Yeah. I've been thinking about Greg Norman a lot. if I were Jay Monahan, I would have sent a plane for Tiger Woods, had him come up to Brookline, and just basically had a press conference and then go home, because they would have talked to Tiger about the PGA Tour. He had to turn down $500 million.
Yeah.
He had to.
Yeah.
Greg Norman
himself
said high nine figures.
But
as somebody who follows the game and has been around the game and has worked for the tour, or at least the broadcast of the tour, the Rory McIlroy winning last week, I don't think they could have had a better winner not named Tiger. And the fact that Rory and JT and Rahm, who are probably the most three most important players to the tour right now, to have them be so pro PGA Tour is probably the best thing.
Absolutely. And by the way, that leaderboard on Sunday at the Canadian Open, the USGA would die if that was the case this week. They would love to have that at Brookline this week. Yeah, look, the PGA Tour is always going to be the most competitive and going to have the best players. That is never going to be a debate. But the other thing that's not debatable, and the PGA Tour needs you to understand this thing isn't going anywhere.
Nope.
The PIF, the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, is flush to the tune of $600 billion. Now, in trying to break that down, that's $600,000 million. It's not going anywhere.
Yep.
It's not. It's a reality now, especially, look, you can say whatever you want, and John Rahm said some things. I don't like 54, no cut. I get that. But a lot of people thought it was fun. Like, the format itself, I think, is an interesting concept, an interesting diversion from standard golf. And the team aspect of it, I think, is also a really brilliant idea. And in all transparency, a friend of mine for a long time at ESPN named Sean Bratches was the driving force behind getting this thing going. He just resigned from LIV after disaster. Greg Norman press conference, before the first event. So I the idea is solid. The problem is where the money is coming from. I mean, let's just be honest about it. But that's a slippery slope, and I hate that phrase because you use it in everything as a sort of a catch-all. But that's a problem for the PGA Tour, because it doesn't take much of a quick Google search to find out how many of the PGA Tour's partners also have business in Saudi Arabia.
Sure.
Okay? Like, that's an easy thing to connect. So it can't be that the PGA Tour's stance is adamantly against this because of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So what is it really about? It's not about a moral issue for the PGA mm-hmm. Tour. It's about a monopolistic issue for the PGA Tour.
It's about survival.
So that's the reckoning that they have to deal with. And I thought it was a little heavy-handed this week when Jay was in the booth with Jim Nantz on CBS. I thought I just was like, guys, I don't think you guys really want to go there, because then you're inviting some scrutiny that you probably don't want.
Trey, by the way, about 350 U.S. corporations do business in China, right? And China has been it's not quite the equivalent, and there's a difference between doing business for and doing business with regards to China and Saudi Arabia. But we have 350 U.S., major U.S. corporations have major interest, because China has 1.4 billion customers potentially. All right, let me ask you this about Deshaun Watson. What is ultimately going to happen between the NFL and Deshaun Watson and a suspension?
I think it has to be high double digits to start. It might get reduced on appeal. But again, just remember historically, Ben Roethlisberger, one allegation, no criminal charges, 6 games, reduced to 4 on appeal. Ezekiel Elliott, one allegation, no criminal charges, 6 games, reduced to 4 on appeal. We are now talking about a 25th civil lawsuit soon to be filed. And the New York Times did a remarkable story over the weekend about the number of women. I don't know if I've had 66 massages in my life. And he's had 66 different women over less than a year and a half, searching for them on Instagram. Look, if you're a professional athlete, your body is your temple. It is your business. It is how you make your money. And find me another professional athlete that's going to be going on Instagram DMs to find a massage therapist. You know how this works.
Yep.
You know that when you find someone that works and can get your body right, you stay with those people. You do not go through 66 of them in a year and a half. So this is ultimately going to end very poorly for Deshaun and potentially for Cleveland as well.
By the way, I recommend reflexology. I think you'll like it. I'm not, you know, hot stones are good, but reflexology is really good. Didn't the Houston Texans like have a massage therapist on staff?
Well, they do, and this is where that New York Times article is really interesting, because one of the things that Deshaun alleged in the article and in these DMs with these women, one of the women is like, yeah, the Texans have a place set up for me at this hotel. So now, basically, he's implying that the Texans were in on this on some way, shape, or form, and I'm sure the NFL is going to go, we're going to need to talk to you guys about that.
Mm-hmm. They've already been added to the lawsuit, that's certainly interesting. Look, I'm not even put out. I know the rest of the league is bent out of shape over the contract, because the Deshaun Watson guaranteed contract, $230 million worth, now sets the bar. He's not close as a quarterback to the Mahomes, Allens of the world that have really, or Rodgers, that have set the bar on what a legitimate contract is for a quarterback these days. But because that's what the Browns had to do to get Watson to agree to the trade, that's where we are these days. And I don't even care that it's only going to cost him, even if he misses the entire year, $1 million, because the way the contract's set up, it's got to be a principal thing at this point.
Well, there were no principles in this entire process, if we're honest about
it.
But you're right. And I will say this. I think Deshaun is a really good quarterback. Like, the last year he played, his numbers were fantastic. We just didn't care because the Texans were the Texans, and they finished 4-12. But that contract is going to have – that's the first NBA contract in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. And there is nobody in the NFL that wants this to go well for Cleveland. Like, that's one of the reasons Baker Mayfield is still there and still their problem. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, yeah, you need to help us out with the contract. They're like, why would we help you? You just screwed all of us.
Right.
You know? Well, there's no incentive for us to help you in any way, shape, or form. So this is really problematic. And I also say one thing else about the frickin' Browns, okay? When they held that embarrassing press conference after he was signed, mm-hmm. and they're like, well, you know, our legal team told us we couldn't talk to those women because we'd be interfering with a, you know, criminal investigation. Bro, the NFL interviewed these women. There's nothing more litigious corporation out there than the National Football League. You're telling me your brilliant Cleveland legal minds had a better understanding of the situation than the NFL? You didn't interview those women because you wanted plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. Don't hide it any other way. You wanted to be able to say, we had no idea, because you wanted this quarterback. You had a once-in-a-lifetime chance to get him. You've been a terrible franchise forever, and you're banking on the idea that once he eventually sees the field, he'll play so well that you'll forget about all this other stuff. That's what would have been the honest thing for them to say.
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, I would have loved to have heard any of those LIV golfers say, look, they paid me $100 million to do this. That's why I'm doing it. We would have loved to the Browns to, you know, we know what the Browns were about. They want to win, which I get means professional sports. The truth is that once the grand jury returned no charges, this was always going to happen. So that's where we are. All right, we have to let you go. You have anything else in closing at Wingos on Twitter?
I would just say this about the LIV people. At least Richard Bland, this journeyman player on the European Tour who won in his 437th start for the first time, at least he was the honest one and said, yeah, my best days are behind me. You know, if I can cash a check and set up my future, I'm doing it. At least that way you can say, all right, I get it. But like all these other people, I want to grow the game. Now you want to grow your bank account. And just that's fine, but just say it. Just say it.
It's all we want. And you're right about Richard Bland. I said the same thing when I read his comments. I'm like, all right, at least somebody's honest about it. Trey exactly. Wingo at Wingos on Twitter. Who's your pick for the Open?
You know, at Caesars, Rory's the favorite, but that's based on last week, and that was a birdie fest.
Right.
This isn't a birdie fest. Honestly, the three guys I'm looking at are Scottie Scheffler, because his game is made for U.S. Opens, just, you know, consistent, straight, fairways and greens. Will Zalatoris's run as a Wake Forest kid has been amazing in the majors. He's got five of his last seven majors are top tens. He was second at the PGA. I think he could break through this week, and weirder things have happened at Brookline. You know, it's kind of a crazy place with all the stuff that's going on there. So those are the first two names that I would absolutely put out there.
All right, Trey Wingo. I appreciate your time, sir. We'll talk again very soon. Enjoy the Open, and we'll talk again.
You got it, brother. Always good, Adam. See ya.
You got it. Wingos on Twitter, at WINGOZ. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. It's time.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Put four up today.
Exactly.
All right, actually a little breaking news to kick off halftime entertainment.
Do we?
This is according to Joe Pompliano. Joe Pompliano works for, I think it's Red Huddle.
Sorry,
Reed Huddle. Anyway, I think he kind of does his own thing. But he announced today, broke the news, that MLS has agreed to a deal with Apple TV.
Yes, I saw that.
A 10-year deal worth $250 million annually.
Nice.
So that's per John Orrand, our friend John Orrand of the Sports Business Journal, or nearly 2.8 times the current $90 million they get annually from ESPN. So it really is a big deal for MLS if you look at it 250 a year, 250 mil a year, as opposed to 90 mil?
It's becoming a thing, man.
Good thing.
You know, you're too young to remember.
Am I?
No, you are.
Okay.
When we first started hearing, soccer's the next big thing. Soccer's the next big thing. Mm-hmm. Soccer's the next big thing. We're here.
It's getting there,
We're here. We're absolutely here. You see it with the interest in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You see it with ESPN's interest in La Liga and Bundesliga. I mean, if you go to ESPN Plus, now we're sort of out of season except for MLS. For some reason, we play our soccer season is in the summer, in the blistering heat of the summer. But everywhere else in the world, they're all done. Like, all the European leagues are finished. But there's so much soccer on. So much soccer on. I mean, it is the thing. So.
So the Joker, which featured Joaquin Phoenix,
right,
is getting a sequel. And it's looking like the sequel is going to be made to be kind of like a musical, actually. Which is very interesting because the first movie was very, very dark. But I'm sure you probably can blend the two in some way, shape, or form. But according to several outlets, it appears Lady Gaga is in the early negotiation stages of playing Harley Quinn.
Really?
Yes.
She's a pretty good actress, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you see A Star Is Born?
I did. I thought she did really well in
that. She's great. She was great. I cried when the dog was outside whatever his Jack's garage, mm-hmm, when he hung himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I cried. I'm sorry. Is that a spoiler alert? Movie's only been out, what, 3 years?
So, longer than that, I think.
Yeah, I cried. I cried my eyes out. Just don't bring dogs into it.
Yeah.
Don't. I don't need it. I don't need dogs. My wife's trying to get me to get a puppy.
No.
Right? No, we have a dog.
Yeah.
And it would be good for the dog to have a friend of another dog. And he's going to be 6 in a month. And I promised Earl that when he turned 5, we would get him a puppy. Mm-hmm. And so he keeps asking me. Aileen keeps showing me pictures of puppies. I'm like, nah, don't do that to me. Don't show me. Isn't he cute? All puppies are cute.
Yeah.
It'll make a difference what kind of puppy it is. They're all adorable.
And if it's ugly, it's cute.
Sometimes the uglier, the cuter.
Exactly my point.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, you wouldn't, like, date a dog, right?
No.
So.
All right, in the world of gaming news, I got a couple of news and notes here. So a very popular video game known as Overwatch, the second iteration of that game, Overwatch 2, is getting an open beta, actually opening up in 2 weeks on June 28th. And there's no word how long it's going to be open. What is confirmed is that it will be on PC and console and is going to be, once again, available open beta starting June 28th. Signups will begin on June 16th, which is also when more details of this are going to be revealed. So in a couple of days, you'll be able to sign up if you do love the Overwatch game or you want to try it out. Again, it's an open beta, which doesn't cost you anything, which is the best part.
I like that.
I'm okay. I wish more games would do this, give you the free trial or these beta periods. Games used to do this all the time as a teaser to get people to purchase the game. And I wish more video games would still do that because I don't want to buy a game and realize I hate this and I just spent $50 or whatever on a game. Give me an opportunity to test it out and try it. That's all I'm saying.
Like that.
Yeah.
Should be able to sample it.
I remember back in the day, it was like Sega Dreamcast, if I remember correctly, used to have on their, they would have discs when they would, people would buy the console in there of just samples of games. On a disc, so you can go out there and choose different ones. That way, you would actually go back to the store and buy those games. So I wish, again, more games. I wish more systems would do that. Also, in the world of gaming, it appears that Ubisoft, always forget how to pronounce it, Ubisoft is going to, in September, looks like they're going to announce a new Assassin's Creed game, which is a very, very popular video game franchise. Assassin's Creed actually at one point was adapted into a movie with Michael Fassbender playing the lead character. I never actually did see it, but I heard it wasn't that great. But it looks like sometime in September we are going to get an official announcement of Assassin's Creed, a new game in that series. I believe it will be the 8th installment in the Assassin's Creed. I remember the first games coming out back in like 05, 06, somewhere around that time. So it's a very popular franchise in terms of the video game world.
Excellent.
We talked about it earlier, the P Street Bridge.
Winner.
Undefeated once again. So earlier today, a tractor trailer saw pictures, according to ITB Insider, of the bridge once again claiming another victim.
Fantastic.
12
By the way,
feet 4 inches, people. 12 feet 4 inches.
P Street Bridge insists that it is not the same as ITB Insider.
Yeah.
He agreed it isn't it. P Street Bridge isn't it.
Yes.
But it is not the same as ITB Insider. Although, okay, again, I stand by, I have never seen the two in the same room at the same time.
So, yeah, there are pictures on ITB Insider of the... Do I say victim? I'm trying to think of, like, of the truck. Like, what do we call the truck that got stuck? I don't want to say the victim.
The
I would
dope.
Say the loser.
The loser.
The loser.
Loser, yes.
Yeah, because it's a win for P Street Bridge.
No, see, it's not
Therefore,
even a win.
No, no, no. It's a win.
You think it's a win for
absolutely.
P Street Bridge?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's potential damage to the bridge.
No, but that's the thing. It's not. It's still standing.
Yeah.
There's damage. It takes no damage. It only takes prisoners. It takes trucks.
Oh.
That's what it does, and it did it this morning.
Oh, man. It should be like when Andrew Wiggins dunked on Derek White yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed a body.
Yes.
P Street Bridge claimed a body.
And that's 100% what it did.
It dunked all over a truck.
For those who don't know, who may not live in downtown Raleigh or near downtown Raleigh or been to downtown Raleigh, on the northeastern end of town, P Street has a train bridge that goes over top of it. P Street right there by Glenwood South. Nearby where Krispy Kreme is, William Peace University. So it's called the Peace Street Bridge, and trucks try and fit themselves underneath this bridge. And it's 12 feet 4 inches, and they
it doesn't
can't
give.
Help themselves. No.
It's not rubber.
And I'm not going to lie. Where I used to do improv at a place called Comedy Works was right there on the corner of Peace and West Street.
I know exactly where that is. You did improv there?
I did.
Look at you.
It's now across from Meredith College on Hillsborough Street is where Comedy Works is now. But now it's a Publix and the high-rise apartment. But anyway, we used to joke over at Comedy Works that if somebody got stuck under the bridge, we would have to run out there and give them 2 free tickets. I wasn't there when it happened, but I think it did happen at least one time. If someone was there, you'd run out and give them 2 free tickets. Like, hey, you're going to be stuck here for a while. Come watch a show.
Amazing.
Yes. So
all right.
That's what we have here at halftime.
That is fantastic. When we come back, Dennis is on a heater.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll add him up. I went 0-3 last night. Next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Dennis is on a heater. I had Steph Curry to make consecutive threes at some point during the game. He made no threes.
No wonder he didn't make
it. I had Boston at plus 145. They lost, and we both had the same soccer match, but you had the correct outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. So you collected something. I collected nothing.
I collected 25.
Total $25?
25 total.
Have you already made the adjustment?
I have.
All right, so here we are.
Hey, I'm in the positive.
You haven't made my adjustment yet.
No.
So I will take the 300 off. I'm at plus 34.15. Dennis is not, but
I'm
he's still
way behind.
You're still, but you're still doing much better. You're on a heater this week. All right, let's do it.
Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Okay, you can owe me. I owe you rent.
All right, sir, start us off as we place our bets.
All right.
We need a sponsor for this, by the way.
We should.
I'm not saying that you are responsible for getting that, but somebody out there should want to sponsor this. Maybe we'll just make up a sponsor each time.
All right. Brought to you by me.
Yeah. Brought to you by Peace Street Bridge.
Yes, brought to you by the Peace Street Bridge.
Claiming lives one truck at a time.
You know what? We should make that our sponsor. There you go. The Peace Street Bridge. All right, place your bets. Brought to you by Peace Street Bridge. 12 feet 4 inches, ladies and gentlemen. Germany takes on Italy, new UEFA Nations League. Give me Germany minus a goal and a half at plus 210.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what. I mean, Italy's the defending Euro champion, right?
Yeah, allegedly.
I know that was a thing that happened, but they have not been stout, if you will. I like it. I'm actually going to go to World Cup qualifying to start. We're still not done. There's still a spot left.
Yeah.
Costa Rica is playing at home against New Zealand for a spot in the World Cup. I will take Costa Rica. They're a pretty stout favorite at home, but I'm going to take him given a goal and a half at plus 345 over New Zealand. I'm going to make it worth my while. New Zealand's no good.
Poor Kiwis.
Yes.
Give me Juan Soto home run plus 600 today.
Again, keep doing it.
At plus 600, yeah, I am.
Especially if it goes up. I mean, he's going to hit a home run eventually.
Exactly.
Right? I think you're onto something. More soccer. The United States will play El Salvador in CONCACAF Nations League.
Oh, nice.
It's our version of it. Give me the United States on the road minus a goal and a half to make this worthwhile at plus 145. El Salvador, not good. Not good. It would be disappointing if the United States didn't flex a little bit. Now, they're not going to win 5-0, but I could see a 3-1 win at El Salvador. So we'll take the United States plus 145 minus a goal and a half.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you an early bet here on PLL. Okay, Premier Lacrosse League. I'm going to give you a player prop bet. This is coming up this Saturday, 4:00. Cannons take on the Archers. Will Manny over 4.5 points, plus 150.
Will Manny what?
We'll have plus.
Oh, Will is his first name.
Yeah. Will
okay.
Manny.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
But I'm again
just the ninth greatest point scorer in pro lacrosse history.
Appreciate your honesty, by the way, when these bets are in. Because I ain't checking. all right. We're going to go in Major League Baseball. Today, Rays playing at the Yankees, opening up a 3-game set. Gerrit Cole on the mound for New York. He's been great. Corey Kluber on the mound for the Rays. He's not Gerrit Cole. Give me the Rays at plus 180 to win tonight.
All right.
All right. That's what I am doing. I want Gerrit Cole. I want the Yankees to lose. It's probably a bad idea. Rooting against the Yankees.
I guess.
Because they win a lot. Their best record in baseball. The best record in baseball. Very good. By the way, tough break for the Braves last night. Ozzie Albies on a swing apparently suffered a broken foot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how long he's going to be out. Hopefully, it will not be that long. I am not one of these people that hates the Braves. The rivalry's been great, but I also think the rivalry has been good for both teams and kind of respectful. I've always thought that it was cool that Chipper Jones named his child Shea for dominating in New York when they played at Shea Stadium.
I like that.
So I am not a hater of the Atlanta Braves. You're only five back. I mean, it's not like the Mets have played badly. The Mets have played pretty well. They just did a 10-game road trip through Los Angeles and San Diego, where they went 5-5, split with the Dodgers, lost the series in San Diego, won 2 out of 3 against the Angels, who are not nearly as bad as their record might indicate of late. They lost 14 in a row at one point. But me and the Braves are only 5 back. So shouts to Atlanta for climbing back in this thing. Shouts to them. So there you go. Will you watch on ESPN Plus the United States and El Salvador tonight? We have no other competition. This is the worst part about where we are because the Stanley Cup Finals doesn't begin until tomorrow. right? We don't have another NBA game for like, what, 6 days, 7 days?
Something like that.
Right, Thursday is game six. So we're kind of left with a day of, well, we'll just have to stay awake.
I know that's going to be hard for me.
It's going to be hard for you.
Well, I've been doing also producing morning radio this week. So I'm waking up at 5 in the morning.
Well, that's why Al Gore invented caffeine.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah. But still,
I know, that's right. You don't do caffeine. You
don't
drink coffee.
I don't really do caffeine, no. I just don't.
So no, like, a Coke or?
No.
Really?
Nothing.
Good for you.
I mean, hot green tea has a little bit of caffeine,
sure,
but it's negligible.
Very negligible.
So, no. For me, I will be asleep
by 10. Who knew you were so holistic?
I don't know. Caffeine's never done anything for me. I've drank coffee before. Does nothing for me.
Okay.
And I'm not the biggest fan of coffee in terms of taste. I'm just not.
Totally understand it.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.